Hi, all. These are generally conversations between adults after the children have left the table. The language can be spicy, and the subjects can get saucy. So if you're ready, this is the Southern Fork. Unscripted kitchen chats, and also studio chats, with some of the most interesting voices in the culinary South. I'm Stephanie Burt, a food and beverage writer who travels with her fork to write for a variety of publications, from magazines you might have on your coffee table to the website you love to visit for your favorite recipes. And I'm inviting you to come behind the scenes with me to get to know the people who make this Southern culinary landscape so special. I'm always hungry for the next bite, thirsty for that next sip, and ready for the next conversation. Let's dig in. The Southern Fork is presented by Townsend Automotive in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Well, it's beach season, shrimp season, farm stand season, and ice cream season, and so you know what that means. It's road trip season. I'm out on the road sharing good eats and drinks and introducing you to the people behind them. So if you're inspired to get out here too, but your vehicle is less than inspiring, please consider purchasing your next road trip ride from Townsend Automotive. Celebrating 49 years serving West Alabama, this company has been extending its reach so that you don't even have to be in the Tuscaloosa area to purchase a car from them. Nationwide vehicle delivery service is available for Southern Fork listeners, and it's something that makes buying just the right new or certified pre-owned vehicle even easier. Visit TownsendHonda.com for current inventory, or, of course, if you're in West Alabama, stop in. Townsend Automotive always salutes local entrepreneurs, from restaurateurs to podcasters, and they welcome you to be part of a community that does the same. Founded in 1959 by Inez Hill and Louise Hudson, otherwise known as Mama Hill and Mama Louise, H&H Restaurant in Macon, Georgia, is a Southern institution. In the 70s, Macon was home to the newly minted Capricorn Records, and H&H fed many of the musicians coming through the town, though it's most famous for its founder's unique friendship with the Allman Brothers Band, where the story goes that if the band was high, they had to come in through the kitchen door. That friendship took Mama Louise on quite a ride that included a seat on the Allman Brothers tour bus in 1972 and lifelong friendships with Greg and the rest of the band. After Mama Hill died, H&H was closed for a little while, but in 2014, the Moonhanger Group reopened the historic restaurant in cooperation with Mama Louise, and soon after, Tangi Myers and Kayla Price joined the restaurant to keep its legacy alive with crispy fried chicken, fluffy biscuits, and all the collards they could cook. H&H was named one of the top five meat and three joints by the Wall Street Journal in 2016. And the small place is not only filled with people 6 days a week, it's also decorated with photos and concert posters of some of the musicians the restaurant has served through the years. Welcome to the Southern Fork.
Hey, sunshine.
Hey.
Well, I know it's been a long day. It's been a long week. Do y'all have a day off?
Mondays.
I don't.
Okay.
What do you do? I work on my day off.
What do you do, Tangi, on Mondays?
Monday was nobody else is in here. I come in, I do my walk around, I do my order, get everything ready for Tuesday morning. And then on Tuesday morning, I just come in here running.
Yeah, because you do breakfast and lunch every day.
Yes.
And that is a lot. Let's do a little bit of volume here. How many covers of, do you have a number? How many pounds of something or how many
Dishes
tables, dishes you?
we probably kick out between
I don't know. I can tell you how much tea I kick out. Let's hear
I kick
that.
out
Two,
on a
three,
good
and a, three, almost 3 gallons of tea daily.
3 gallons of tea. Okay.
Yeah, so on a good day, we kick out at least 500 to 800 plates.
Wow. And these are all long recipes. I mean, these recipes are, they take a while. And so how early do you have to come in?
Me, myself, I get here sometime 3, sometime 4. It all depending if I have catering to do. I get here extra early. If I don't have catering, then between 3:30 to 4 o'clock.
Wow.
Yes.
In this world of H&H, it's its own little ecosystem. You have regulars, you have people that you might never see again, like me, although you might really see me again. And you have famous people that come in, and that's kind of how this all started. But famous people came in before they were famous, namely the Allman Brothers, which people would have heard of that from the intro. So talk to me a little bit about the flow that happens in the dining room, because I enjoyed my time here just watching that mix of people. And you're right, you're out on the floor the whole time,
Yes,
Kayla.
ma'am. Yes, I am. You meet a lot of different people, interesting people.
Yeah. So who are some of the, do you still have
Chuck
famous?
Lavelle comes in here.
J-Mo.
J-Mo, I met J-Mo.
From the Allman Brothers Band.
Yes, I met the guy that is the Georgia Bulldogs training. He trains the football players during the seasons. He comes in here and eats.
Marcus King, he's a famous guitar player out of Texas. He comes.
Lamar, what was Lamar's name? J-Mo, he's with J-Mo.
I mean, there'd be so many famous people that come in. Nate Bald.
What's his name from the Braves comes in?
Yes. Otis.
Otis.
Mr. Otis, he comes in. We get so many
So
famous
many.
people in here all the time.
And it's a pilgrimage. It's a pilgrimage. So I have to ask you, Tangie, as being from my part of the world, play little
Geechee
place.
Gullah.
Yeah, a little place called Charleston, South Carolina. How did you end up here cooking with Mama Louie?
Well, I wasn't cooking with Mama Louise. I started out at the rookery in the back of the house cooking. And they noticed that I know how to cook. By then, Mama Louise already has sold the business to the Moonhanger Group. So they noticed that I know how to cook soul food. So the restaurant was going a little bit under, and they brought me over here to keep her name going and keep her legacy alive and to bring the soul food back into H&H.
So, where did the recipes live when you had to come in and take over?
In my head.
Okay, but I mean, but you had, I believe that. But you also had to kind of cook some of the same things, right? Because
Yes.
we've established that we had regulars,
We
right?
had regulars, but I had to twerk a little bit of some of the old recipes to make it more up to date, so a lot of other people can enjoy it. And now it took off running.
So, what was the thing that you had to get right for H&H? What was the hardest thing that you had to make sure that you had right?
The collard green sugar.
So let's talk. I did not have the collard greens. I had the okra, which I want to talk about. But talk about the collard greens. You have a little pork in there.
Yes, I have ham hock. Yes. I'm not going to give you all my recipes, but yes, we do cook with ham hock. We do cook with a lot of fat stuff, but we also have vegetarian plates as well that they can eat also that it don't have no pork or anything in it.
So, how did you learn to cook? Who
When
taught you?
I was 13 years old, my stepmother, she taught us how to cook. We had to learn how to cook before we went outside and play. So she made us stay in the kitchen with her.
And what
So
was the thing that you?
cleaning collard greens, she used to bake cakes. We used to have to clean a
Did
lot
you
of
have to
people.
crack the beans?
Yes, we had to shuck the peas. We had to clean chitlins. A lot of people might not know about chitlins. So it's a lot of things that she taught us that we had to learn. Clean fish, like scale the fish, gut the fish, all that. Clean the chicken, bring the chicken neck. I mean, I can go on and on.
So, Kayla, how did you end up here?
From the rookery. I started at the rookery. Okay. And I was at the rookery for a year, and Miss Tangy come and pulled me from the rookery and got me over here as a host. I was only supposed to be here on Saturday and Sunday.
But it stuck. What do you love about it?
The atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's a really good atmosphere from your customers and the people you work with. It's really a good atmosphere. You become a family with them. And
well, you would at 800 plates.
Yeah.
We get our regulars every day, and then we get our regulars on the weekends that come during the week sometime. But
customers, though, are like,
it's like you can feel a love in the ear.
You can.
Everybody gets along. Everybody's smiling.
Because I just had a baby, and when I tell you half of her stuff come from every one of my customers from H&H.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, you just feel the love in the air when you come through the doors.
So. And it's everybody. It's business people. It's workers. Saw that. And
that's my son.
He's over here. He's over here making silent commentary. Come on now. You got to say hey on the mic. Come on.
Hey, how you doing?
Tell me your name. Tell me your name.
Terrence Myers. I'm the son of Miss Tangy.
Don't make me break my concentration now. So this is such a legacy, and it is really something that Macon is very, very proud of. And Mama Hill and Mama Louise just passed away last November. So how do you consider her legacy?
It's an honor and privilege to keep her legacy going. Her daughter, Lucy, me and her got real tight before Mama Louise had passed. And all the way up until a month before she died, she was still getting fried chicken, collard greens, mashed potato, and fried okra to eat on from H&H.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you see how deep it runs. She still was eating H&H food. And me and Lucy, her daughter, became really tight, and we just make sure that this place stays alive. She lives through this place. So it is an honor. I'm getting goosebumps now, just always talking about Mama Louise.
Well, I think that was close to my order. So I had fried chicken, fried okra, squash casserole, and rice and gravy. I only go for the dark meat because I know what's good. but what I want to dig in for a minute about is that breading on the okra and the fried chicken, it's almost like it's waves. It's really crunchy.
We do a egg wash and then flour, but we have a special flour mix that we use. We create our own seasoning and we blend it in with the flour to make it stick with the egg wash. And that's how we...
Do you steam the chicken at all?
Oh, no steam.
Man, no steam. So juicy. It was so juicy. And I feel like there was almost some white gravy on the squash casserole. Was that?
No white gravy.
What is that? It was like a bechamel cream in the middle or something. It was very creamy.
Sour cream?
I don't know. Well,
I'll give you two ingredients and
I tell my customers it's a lot of cheeses and it's sour cream. Okay. That's all I can tell you. Anything else in there? I don't know.
It was so rich. But I also wish that I'd had two orders of the okra because okra is my favorite vegetable. And my birthday is in about 10 days. And this time of year, about once a year, I have pretty close to that meal, except I needed some sliced tomatoes because
get our famous fried green tomatoes.
No, but I like the plain red tomatoes with my biscuit, you know.
The fried okra, we don't use frozen frozen okra already breaded. We bread our own okra and drop it in our egg wash, our mixed egg wash, and then deep fry it.
There is no doubt.
So it's fresh okra.
Yes, it makes such a difference.
It does.
Yeah. And it's Anyone listening to this that's outside the South and still freaking out about okra, it's delicious, right?
It is. Come to H&H and we let you try for free.
Or just don't, and I'll eat your portion.
There you go.
So is there something on the menu that is specifically yours?
The beef tips is one of our number one sellers. We sell out every day. I got to cook a fresh pot every day. Famous soul rolls. Oh my God. Everybody comes in sometimes just to order the soul rolls. And beef tips, everybody come in. That's the number one thing they go for lunch, for breakfast. Oh.
H&H standard.
The H&H standard for breakfast.
Yes.
Okay, so what's the H&H standard?
It's your choice of eggs, your choice of meat between bacon and sausage, cheese grits or hash brown casserole, and a biscuit or toast.
So you said that a few hundred times.
I have. And I always tell them to get sausage gravy on the side, and you get everything on that breakfast menu all in one plate.
There you go. Mm-hmm. We have a roll, a biscuit, and cornbread. Which one do you like best? Which one do you steer your customers to?
I can't.
Well, a lot of them come in for our famous biscuit. But a lot of them now starting to all depending on lunch or breakfast. So a biscuit sells majority in the morning time when cornbread sells majority in the evening time. So
Kayla, I have a question for you. When people come in, I think about this a lot when I come in a place that's famous, but it's your first time and you've driven here. Like I drove here from Atlanta just to make sure that I hit here. I want to look cool. But I'm also like, it's my first time in here and it's really cool. Do you have a lot of people that take pictures and ask
every
questions?
Day?
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
We just make you feel at home. We want you to be comfortable. You can take pictures. You can hang out and talk to other customers. Everybody is friendly. Everybody treats you with respect. So when you walk through the door, it's nothing but love.
Yeah. So, Tangi, I have kind of a deeper question for you.
As somebody
who is a chef in an iconic restaurant, but also really major living in restaurants, right? Mm-hmm. So why do you think restaurants are important? You have so many regulars and you have so many people who love this place and didn't want it to go away.
This place brings people together. Because when Mama Louise started out, she started out with love. That's how she got her name Mama, because of the Almond Brothers. So this was built on love. So anytime you walk through this door, it's nothing but love in the air. My weakness is homeless people. I got a passion for feeding the homeless. And Mama Louise had that same passion. Me and her got the same connections in some type of way. If you don't have the money, you're going to get a meal regardless of what it is. You're going to get a stomach full before you walk out that door. You don't have to pay back. Just spread the love and keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Yeah.
I think this whole restaurant's about homeless, though, because you got customers that come in here, regulars that give, you know, and be like, here, this goes towards the homeless plates that they just all come together for them.
Because that's what Mama Louise built.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that always been my passion to feed the homeless. So for me to walk in under her footsteps and following in her footsteps and knowing that she's smiling down and proud of what I'm doing to keep her legacy going and to feed the homeless and stuff, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Yeah. And tired.
I don't know about tired.
She had 2 days off and she was miserable.
Let me tell you, I wake up early in the morning, but I go to bed early. So I get my energy back and I'm just running.
You are. And you yesterday saying hey to everybody, people want to come up and visit, and you've got the to-go's and you've got people coming in. It really does feel like love. It really does. So I have to ask you, you've righted this ship. It was rocky there for a bit. But I mean, there were people waiting on my table when I left yesterday at 1:30. So it was ready to go. What is making you hungry? What are you thinking about now for this business? You have dreams for this place?
My dreams are to take it to the next level. I'm not talking about expanding because we like the comfort it has, the warmth it has in here, you know, the intimacy it has in here, this small building. So the next level is just offer them different food to feed their soul. That's all.
What about you, Kayla?
I think mine would be to keep the legacy going on. I think that would keep her daughter that was there with her through the from the beginning to the end. That's what would keep her. Because it's hard for her daughter to come in right here right now because it's so, like, her spirit's still in here, you know? It's still Mama Louise. And just to keep that going in her name.
Yeah. And that is important. Stories like that are important, you know? So I have to ask, what is one aspect of your job that meshes with an aspect of your personality, besides that energy that you're able to get back?
Oh, whenever I feed somebody and they smile and they enjoy it, that make me happy.
I think she's got a passion for cooking.
I do. I love
cooking.
She
might not say it, and we might hear it sometimes, but at the end of the day, she's got a passion for cooking.
I love cooking. And what makes me happy is to see you happy when you're eating my food.
Did you see me happy yesterday?
I see everybody happy. I see everybody happy.
I didn't have my Kleenex out, but I could have. It was that good. So good. And I think that is important. So is there anything keeping you up at night? Quick fire.
Worrying about what I'm going to cook the next day. Making sure that this business runs smoothly. Mm-hmm. But majority of the time, it don't keep me up at night. Once I hit that bed, that's it. I'm out.
That's great.
And then I'm back up at 2-something in the morning. My body is on its own timer.
Yeah, it is. And that's awesome. Now, we've talked a lot about the food that we all get to enjoy from you. So today, I want people to get to know you two a little bit through some of the foods that you enjoy. So instead of a death row meal, because I don't believe in the death penalty, I want to bring you a picnic basket full of things that bring you life. So since you work together, I want you to build a basket together. It doesn't have to match like a picnic. It can be some of your favorite things. So with this basket, I can time travel. I can go back and ask anybody to make one more bite of something you'd like. I can cook a little bit and I can source for you. So what can I put in that basket?
Seafood, honey. I'm from the low country and I love my shrimp. I love my blue crabs and I love my crab boil. So anything that got to do with seafood, honey, and Chinese food, this is your girl right here.
Seafood, blue crab. Now, do you want me to pick that blue crab?
Oh, no, honey.
Devil crab?
No.
You want a crab crack?
I crack it myself. I crack it alive, you know, if I want to make garlic crab. And then if I want the crab boil, because it's meat inside that crab shell. Honey, I eat it all.
I love it.
That's hard for me. I'm greedy.
She's greedy. She's more greedy than me.
I want to take all the picnic baskets. My favorite thing is probably neck bones and oxtail, if it's cooked right. I can,
When she was pregnant, she was eating all my collard greens.
Now, when I was pregnant, you couldn't stop me from eating a piece of fried whitening and collard greens and hot sauce every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
That was your craving.
I had 2 days off and I took two big containers of collard greens home with me and ate them.
Good. You had a lot of iron,
yes,
for sure.
I
right?
did.
You had a lot
the
of iron.
The iron was good. Yes.
Well, that's a proper Southern picnic basket right there. Now, do you eat your oxtail over rice?
Yes. Yeah. I'll eat my oxtail over anything. Yes. I will eat it over anything.
Yes.
Well, if you want to learn more about H&H, you know where to go. Go to thesouthernfork.com. I'm going to have links there as well as images so you can see the faces behind these voices. If you like what you hear, it is so fun to travel around and record things for you, but I hope that it inspires you to travel around and eat as well. There is a country full of good food right around the corner, right outside your door. And if you're lucky, you might have Tangi hand cut some okra for you and deep fry it.
Yes.
Thank you so much for chatting with me when you didn't know what was going on.
You're welcome.
Hello and welcome to Talking With My Mouthful. Some of you probably can guess this if you've been a longtime listener to the show. I'm actually a really big architecture buff, especially historical architecture in the U.S. I was a history minor in undergrad and took some classes under Dan Morrill at UNC Charlotte in historic preservation. So Charleston is a great fit for me architecturally because of that. But let me tell you, Macon, Georgia's architecture blew me away. There are more than 6,000 buildings listed on the National Register of Historic Places in Macon, Georgia, 14 historic districts, and it is just full of these huge mansions downtown, right outside of the downtown business district. And the downtown business district is a super intact early 20th century commercial business district. So if you're like me and you're driving through a lot of these southern towns, you might see a main street or two, but Macon, Georgia has such a beautiful, intact downtown that it's used often for movie sets. So if you think about city architecture from 1890s to the 1960s, that's really what Macon has, with a really cool like theater. There is, you know, that five and dime kind of architecture, and it's not abandoned buildings. They very much are in use. There's a vibrant downtown, and I went to like a used bookstore that had a lot of cats in it. I don't know why I felt like I had to tell you that, but it was a lot of cats. I just kept seeing, you know, cats coming around the corner. Maybe not a lot, but it was multiple cats in a very small space. You know, just mom and pop businesses like used bookstores, restaurants, commercial businesses, some law offices, all of those kinds of things. So if you're an architecture fan, I definitely would put Macon, Georgia on your radar. It's one of the towns in the South that has so many historic buildings because General Sherman negotiated to not burn Macon, Georgia. So there are a lot of antebellum structures still in existence in that part of the country. And it was a very big railroad town, which means all of that flat area around Atlanta and Macon, that central Georgia area, was cotton land. And so all of that cotton would come through the area, you know, Macon. And so there's a lot more to this story, a lot of darker chapters and a lot more discussions of wealth. But I'm just mentioning the architecture because it's just the tip of the iceberg. Thanks so much for listening. And I will be right here on the mic with you again next week.
You've been listening to The Southern Fork. I can't wait to bring you more culinary conversations, but in the meantime, I have one question. Are you gonna eat all that?